Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bible, then turn over to Romans 14. You have your Bible, turn to Romans 14. If you get there really quick, go over to Acts 15 and put your finger right there in Acts 15, and we're going to run over there. But let's keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and their team in our prayers as they're ministering. I think they started in Cleveland, Tennessee tonight. And so, they're an extension. We lend them out to the world, and they're being a great blessing, being used of God like that. And so let's just continue to, they fly on that aircraft, but I would say they fly on the wings of our prayers as well. So let's continue to lift them up. Amen. All right, where did I tell you to go first? Romans 14. All right. So in Romans 14, let me get over there since I told you to go to Romans 14. Romans 8. I should have said Romans 8. I'm sorry. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. I want to read tonight Romans 8, 14. I want to read Romans 8, 16. If you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. Romans 8, 14. I'm reading all of these verses tonight from the New American Standard Version, if that's all right, New American Standard. Romans 8 and 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say that out loud for me. Led by the Spirit of God.
Led by the Spirit of God.
Amen. I'm going to read that again. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then Romans 8, 16, the Spirit himself testifies or bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So say that with me. The Spirit himself
bears witness
with my spirit
that
I am a child of God. Yeah. When God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit, he bears witness. He identifies with your spirit, right? Amen. We know that we're a triune being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And the primary way, not the only way, but the primary way that God speaks to us is through our spirits. How many know that? Read over in John 14 and 15 and 16. And Jesus promised that the Comforter would come, the Spirit would come and be in us. He, not only would he come to us, but he would come and dwell on the inside of us. And if you're a believer tonight, then the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of you. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And so now, if you will, go with me to Acts chapter 1. I told you to go to Acts 15. We are going to go to Acts 15, but let's stop at Acts 1 first. Acts chapter 1. We're talking about the leading of the Spirit tonight. In Acts chapter 1, from 23 down through 26, I'm going to read that, and then we'll go from there. Acts chapter 1, verse 23. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." Verse 26. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Now notice something very significant is going on here in Acts chapter 1. That is, they're having to determine, because Judas had vacated his office. If you go over and read Psalm 69 and other scriptures, prophetically, it says that his office would be assumed by another. Somebody else would assume his office, talking about Judas. And Peter recognizes in Acts chapter 1 that the scripture, he locates them in scripture and says that God is telling us we've got to select someone to replace Judas. You remember Judas betrayed Jesus and then he hung himself. And so Peter, reading in scripture, said prophetically, we have to replace his office. And so they chose two people, but they only had one position to fill. And they didn't know who it should be. And isn't it interesting here? It says that they took the two people who they chose and they drew lots for them. They had Justice and Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was also called Justice, and Matthias. So they had Barsabbas and Matthias. And anyway, they drew lots. Isn't that interesting? That was how they decided what God's will was. Now, to understand that, you'd have to go further back into the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, that's how many decisions were decided. When Israel didn't know what to do, they had the Urim and the Thummim, and they would, in this case, they would often write names on a stone and then cast the stones, and the Lord would determine what the answer was. Sometimes they would write yes or no or something. In this case, they believe they wrote the name, these two names on there, and then as they cast these stones, and then the stone that came up would have had the name of the person who the Lord was selecting. In the Old Testament, because the people did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, God allowed them to make decisions like that. Read over in Exodus 18, the people stood before Moses day and night trying to get an answer from God on decisions that they had. And because the Holy Ghost wasn't on the inside of them, they couldn't ask the Lord from an inward perspective like we do today, because the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of us as believers. How many are with me on that? And so so they would cast lots, and the Lord would determine which answer was the correct one. And so here in Acts chapter 1, we see the last of how they did it in the Old Testament. But at the end of Acts chapter 1, you never see this phrase again in the New Testament, that they cast lots to determine God's will in some area of their life. You know why? Because as New Testament believers, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And today, aren't you glad? You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to wait on a man. You don't have to wait on someone to intervene between you and the Lord. The Lord Jesus is all you need. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he's our mediator tonight? And because he's our mediator, then we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And if you'll ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he'll register whatever it is you need. He'll speak to you down in your spirit. It is the primary way God communicates with us. Too many believers today looking for answers outside, up in their head or either from outside. And you'll get burned like that. Because we have it, to have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us, and that he can bear witness with our spirit, just like it says in Proverbs 20:27. So in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church is birthed, and you never see them draw lots again. When it's time to get an answer from God, when it's time to hear from God, Romans and the other epistles written to the church define how they did it in the book of Acts. They allowed the Lord. Now, I'm not saying, listen, God can speak prophetically. He can speak through various words. But I'm saying the primary way he speaks to his children is down on the inside of you, in your spirit, man, bearing witness with your spirit. Can I get amen there?
Amen.
Go read Proverbs 20:27. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak other way, but this is the primary way. And so often when people are seeking out other sources and seeking out other people, they get burned doing that sometimes. And even if somebody does have a word, thank God for the prophetic. Thank the prophetic is true and real. Listen, even if somebody does have a word, it better confirm something that's on the inside of you. Okay, let's go on. So go now go with me to Acts 15. We're talking about the inward witness tonight. The inward witness. Now, in Acts 15, just for the sake of our time, a very important meeting called the Council of Jerusalem occurs here in Acts 15. What was happening is that many believers were getting born again, but there was some confusion among believers as to what these new Gentiles should have to do to get born again. And many of the Jewish believers were saying they've got to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses before they can get born again. It's a really important question. What happens in Acts 15 determines, if they hadn't had this meeting in Acts 15, let me tell you, you and I would have had to convert to Judaism, follow all of the Jewish laws, had this meeting not determined. They sought God. They sought an answer. What is the way that people, Lord, are you requiring people to convert to Judaism before they convert to Christianity? That's what this meeting is about. And so the church, the center of the church had not just in Jerusalem now, the center of the church had also become in Antioch. And so since the question arose up in Antioch and there was lots of debate about how somebody gets born again and the believers are going back and forth, they said, why don't we send some people from Antioch to Jerusalem? We'll send a delegation there and we'll ask at the delegation what is the primary process that someone gets born again? Is it faith in Christ alone or must they convert to Judaism? And so they convened this meeting in Acts 15. And this happened somewhere around 49 A.D. Okay, so at the meeting, the delegation from Antioch, they send apostles there. Look at we'll read verse 1 and 2, and then we'll skip down for the sake of time. Okay, we're in Acts 15, 1 and 2. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. When Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning the issue. So that's what they did. Paul and Barnabas go up to Jerusalem from Antioch, and they're determining what happens. There's a great debate about the issue. Look down at verse 6. The apostles and the elders came together to look into the matter, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice, and Peter gives his understanding of faith in Christ alone. And then it moves on down to verse 19, where, 13, it says, after they stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simon has related how God first concerned himself about taking among the Gentiles a people for his name with the words of the prophets. The words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. And then verse 19, therefore, it's my judgment, James says, that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from the Gentiles. So James gives his opinion. And now I want you to look with me now at verse 22. Now I want to slow down just a little bit because this is how things were done at the meeting. I'm at verse 22. I'm in the New American Standard Version. And Acts 15, 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men from among the brethren. So what's happening here? Once they determined that faith in Christ alone is the way a person is born again, the way a person receives Christ, faith in Jesus alone, they determined it at the meeting. Well, then they determined, we're going to send some people from the delegation now, and we're going to send them back with a letter that confirms what happened at the meeting. So are you with me? Some folks from Antioch came down to Jerusalem. They had the big meeting. Now in Jerusalem, they're saying, look, let's send a letter back up to Antioch, and we'll send it with some significant men who can bear witness that that's what happened at the meeting. Faith in Jesus alone is how a person receives Christ. And so how did they do that? Then it says it seemed good to the apostles and elders, verse 22, and the whole church to choose men. It seemed good to them to do that. Look down at verse 25. It seemed good to us, this is what part of the letter says, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. That phrase again, it seemed good to us. Let me read 26 down through 28. We're going to 28. Look at 28, but let me start at 26. Men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas with them, who themselves will report the same things by word of mouth. Verse 28. Watch now. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. You see that phrase again? It seemed good. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. It seemed good. Let me keep reading because 34 is where we're going next. I'll start at 30. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch. Having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. And after they had spent time there, they sent them away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. 34. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. So We see that phrase at 22. If you read New American Standard, it says, it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men. And then down at 25, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you. And then down at 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. And 34, but it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Okay, what's your point, preacher? That phrase, it seemed good. It seemed good. And especially if you look at the 28, probably most versions would have that phrase in 28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. What I'm suggesting to you is that the way that they determined the answer to this most important of questions, how does a man, how does a woman, what is the process, what is the requirement for someone to receive Christ, to be born again? Must they convert to Judaism? Must they be circumcised, converted to Judaism, following the Old Testament laws, and then receive Jesus? Or is it faith in Jesus alone? Aren't you glad today we know it's faith in Jesus alone? This happened in 49 AD, very early on, just around the time the book of Galatians was written. And so depending on which epistle you're reading, the question was already answered after this. But the answer was solved once and for all at this meeting. And the scripture doesn't tell us that they had any type of prophetic word or prophetic utterance where God said, just faith in Jesus alone. We know that faith in Jesus alone is the answer, thank God. But the way they got that answer is that something just seemed right. Something down on the inside seemed right. Something on the inside seemed right about it. They prayed, they asked the Lord, and then there was something that seemed good to all of them. Something just seemed right. Something seemed good to them on the inside. I'm suggesting to you that something that seemed right was the Holy Ghost bearing witness with their spirit. The same way he leads you and I today is the same way they determine the important answer to this question. I said we walk by faith, not by sight. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And on the inside, oftentimes God's leading will just seem right. It'll be something that just seems right. When I was in school, 1985, Keith Moore said something that always stayed with me. And he was talking about following the Lord and following the leading of the Spirit on the inside. He said this, sometimes, you know, if something just doesn't seem quite right, if it just doesn't seem, you're praying about something, but it doesn't seem quite right. It doesn't line up quite right. He said, if it's not quite, it's not right. You want to find out what God is saying, but if it's not quite, it's not right. It seemed good, that phrase, it seemed good to them down on the inside. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Keep your finger there in Acts 15, if you will. Let's go over real quick to Luke chapter 1. It seemed good. Everybody say it seemed good. Yeah, we're talking about the leading of the Spirit. That oftentimes the Spirit will impress you and on the inside, down on the inside in your spirit man. And you pray about something and pray it out long enough and according to the Word, and you'll get a knowing on the inside. Whatever you're praying about, if you'll pray it out and study the Word, you'll get a knowing down on the inside. And something either won't seem right, or if you pray long enough, something will seem right. And you'll know what direction to go in. These are critical times that we're living in. And God, I believe God's trying to bless his people. He's trying to bless the church. It is imperative that we make correct decisions. These next 4 months, 6 months in your life, it is imperative that we make correct decisions. Because those decisions will position us for the blessing of the Lord. But we've got to follow what seems right on the inside. And Luke chapter 1, and of course Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, but Luke also, God used him to write the book of Acts. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God used him to write both of those books. And here he's giving an account of how he knew to write it, how he knew to write this. We're in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Verse 3, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it all out for you in consecutive order, O most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Luke is saying, look, the way that I got the leading to write the book is that it seemed right. It seemed fitting. It seemed fitting on the inside. It seemed right on the inside. And that's how God led him to write this book, to write the book of Acts. He was following the leading of the Lord on the inside of him. I said, I wish I had an amen. He was following the leading of the Lord on the inside. Go with me. Let's go past Acts 15. Go with me to Acts 27. Acts 27. We're talking about the leading of the Lord. We're saying the primary way God leads his people is on the inside. We are a spirit being. He is a spirit being. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would reside in us, and we are living in that glorious day today. And because of that, the Holy Spirit, he will bear witness with our spirit. And oftentimes, I think sometimes we miss the leading of the Lord looking for something spectacular. We miss the supernatural leading of the Lord, which is going to occur down in your belly, down in your spirit. I said, amen. I said, you don't need a man to guide you. You don't need a man to tell you what to do. You don't need a man to show you and lead you. If you're a child of God, you have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness down on the inside of you. You're his child. Where did I tell you to go? Acts 27, verse 9. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. But because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached the decision to put out to sea, if there somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor city of Crete facing southwest. So you can see right there, Paul got on board this freighter. He was being transported to Rome as a prisoner. And when he got on board this ship, the Bible says there were 276 souls on this ship, 276 people. And he got on board this ship, and when he got on board the ship, he said, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo of the ship, but also of our lives. He said, I perceive that the ship is going to crash. We're going to lose our lives. You're going to lose this cargo. He's telling them, don't sail. But the owner of the ship and the pilot of the ship, they conferred with the majority, and they concluded that Paul was a preacher, not a sailor. He was a prisoner, not a sailor. And they concluded he didn't know anything about sailing. How did Paul know that? He said, I perceive. He said, I perceive there's going to be, it, this is go, this is not going to end well. I perceive there's going to be loss of cargo. He said, I perceive there's going to be loss of life as well. When he got on board that ship, he was being sensitive to his spirit. The Holy Ghost was witnessing to his spirit that this trip was not going to go right. And he said, sirs, I perceive it. I perceive it on the inside. And you know, they took a majority vote. And you can go wrong following the majority. I said, you better learn how to follow the mighty word and the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And remember, the word and the spirit always agree. I wish I had an amen in here. And you can listen to popular opinion, and you can listen to how other people did it, and you can listen to the majority, but the Holy Ghost can show you more on your knees than you can see through a telescope. And he can show you what the experts can't see. And they were telling Paul, you just a prisoner and a preacher, and you don't know nothing about sailing. We are experts at this. They were sailing. They say this voyage occurred in 59 AD, October of 59. And they say that you weren't supposed to sail after September was dangerous water. You sail the ship in October, it was next to foolishness. And they said after the feast, after the day, they said the scripture said here, I didn't read it, but it's in there, the Day of Atonement had already passed. We know the Day of Atonement would have been late September or early October. And so they were sailing, and they were sailing in October 59 AD. Just foolishness. But the Bible says that a south wind began to blow. And when the south wind began to blow, they concluded, well, it's going to be all right. Because, see, even the wind has lined up. And the sea is calm. And everything seems all right. So, Paul, go on back down in the ship to your prison because you don't know what you're talking about. And the Bible says it was not very long before they got out there. And a strong wind, your Aquilo, came down and blew them hundreds of miles off course. And it got so bad. Nobody ate. They started throwing over the tackle all of the expensive cargo. They threw it all overboard like it was water. They didn't eat for 14 days because the storm kept on raging. And Paul visited in the night. The Lord sent an angel to visit him in the night, and he came and admonished the man. And he says, verse 23, he says, for this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. And therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. And I tell you, if you'll believe God, it'll turn out exactly like he tells you. But my brother and sister, we're going to have to follow him down on the inside. Because you see, we've been so blessed in the body of Christ to have a better covenant established upon better promises. And so, listen, we have to take advantage of the good Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. And the scripture says in John, read John 14, John 15, John 16, the Holy Ghost, he will teach you. The Holy Ghost, he will comfort you. The Holy Ghost, he will counsel you. The Holy Ghost, he will show you things to come. And there are times when the Holy Ghost will show you, don't do that. There are times when I remember when one year, my son and my daughter-in-law, now they were just dating. They were in college. They were at OSU, and they'd been home for Sunday, and we fed them dinner, and they were getting ready to go back. And, you know, we always said a quick prayer, and they would get in the car like normal and jump in their car, and they were headed back to OSU. And so when we grabbed hands that night, we grabbed hands, and instantly, down on the inside, I just said, son, I there's something on the inside. There's something wrong. And you can't leave here right now. And I shared Brother Hagin's story about getting ready to leave one time, and the Lord, you know, telling them they couldn't go. And I shared the story about the preacher who had had those accidents. He'd been asking the Lord, you know, why did I have these accidents? I prayed, asked you to bless me. Going on vacation one time, prayed, asked the Lord to bless him, and had an accident. And cost, you know, not just the injury, but, you know, the money to a lot of expense. And so I told my son, I said, son, you've got to follow your spirit. But you can't go right now. And so they, you know, put everything down, and they stayed around, and we talked for a while, and everything seemed clear. And I told them, you pray. I'm not driving back. I'm not going to OSU. I'm not driving. You have to follow. You pray. But they had peace, and we had peace, and they headed back. And I never forget he called me frantic. About 30 minutes later, they had gone from here and got out there on 412 and headed west on 412. And they got out there, and I never forget my son's voice. He said, Dad, Dad. I said, boy, you all right? He said, Dad, Dad. He said, oh, my God, Dad. He said, there's an accident just out ahead of us here. He said, I'm pulled on the side of the road. He said, I'm not in the accident. He said, but, Dad, I would have been in this accident. He said, Dad, there's people dead on the road. There's people dead on the road, Dad. And he said, I've got to follow my spirit. I've got to learn how to follow my spirit. How did I know? I don't know anything like that. I perceived it down on the inside. I perceived what the Holy Ghost was saying down on the inside. Before you make that decision, before you buy that car, before you take that job, before you leave here, you better make sure you're checking in with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he'll show you things to come. And sometimes you have to take the time to pray it out. 1 Corinthians 14:2, whoever speaking in unknown tongues, not speaking unto men, they're speaking unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, they speak mysteries. One interpretation of that word mysteries is answers. And so often when we're praying in the spirit, you're speaking your own answer out. And the longer you pray, the more sensitive your spirit will get to that thing. You're praying out, you're speaking out your answer oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, you're speaking your answer out. And if you'll keep on speaking and keep on speaking and keep on speaking, something will register down on the inside of you, and you'll get a knowing down on the inside, and you'll rise and say, hey, I know what to do. I sense on the inside what to do. And you say, oh, we better not do that right now. No, better not do that. Or you'll say, no, this is the way right here. I can sense it. You are God's child, and he wants to lead you. He said in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. But don't be a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they won't come near you. God's saying, I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I'll keep my eye upon you. I'll show you what to do. But don't be stubborn. Yield. Don't be unyield. Yield. Where are you going to yield? On the inside. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored in the time that we've had to share from your mighty word, and we thank you for the reality and the validity of the inward leading of the Holy Ghost. And so thank you, Father, for registering on the hearts of all who listen your primary leading down on the inside. Be pleased today to bless your people. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, our time is up for tonight, but you might need prayer. Something might be registering on the inside of you. You go pray. You need somebody to agree with you in prayer. And that's what these anointed men and women are here for. And you know how we do by now. The guys come over here and the girls go over there. And if you need anything, you want to be born again. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not here to counsel you, but they're here to pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Let's remember this week to keep Pastor Mrs. Hagen lifted up, the team that's with them. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer. And if you need something from the Lord, come down here and let one of these anointed folks agree with you. And then we will see you right back here on Sunday morning. Pastor will have a mighty, mighty word from heaven, and we'll all be blessed. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Father, protect us all as we go. Bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing. If you were your first time guest, wave at me real big. All of our first time guests. Okay, we want you to go right now, as Pastor Marvin said at the beginning of this service, go with our connection team and the rest of the body. Just hold still 1 minute. Let's let our connection team take all of our guests out and give them a good gift. They're not going to keep you long. Amen. We love you. We're so glad you came. Come back here Sunday morning, hear a great word from Pastor Hagen. You'll be blessed. And we want you to know we're so thrilled that you came. All right, let's give them 30 more seconds to get to where they're going, and they're going to get that great gift and endeavor. Remember, the decisions that you're making, especially these next 4 to 6 months, you have decisions to make. And the Lord's leading. He's counting on you to follow him on the inside. Oh, but you'd be so blessed if you'll follow him down on the inside. If you'll perceive inwardly according to the word, you'd be so blessed. All right, I think that they are clear. God bless you. We'll see you right here on Sunday morning.